Welcome back to the third hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims, Saturdays 5 to 8, right here on KFBK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Again, I have to mention this week, we just assume people know we have an FM signal that originates in Pollock Pines, but the beauty of it, it goes up and down the foothills from I don't know how far, so down to Angel's Camp and below, and clear up to Grass Valley, Nevada, and above. And if you're up in the hills, that FM signal, that 93.1, just comes booming in there. So keep that in mind. Salmon situation is troublesome. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I don't know if we'll even be able to save the salmon, but all we can do, the best we can do, keep coming up with different ways. Like the McCallamy River hatchery manager, that guy's a hero to me, I'll tell you. He does everything possible to increase the number of fish, and he's successful. All right, let's talk to Mr. Gary Coe, because he's got some fishing news, and he's also got a big dinner coming up. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. I talked earlier, you know, you and I have talked before about the department, even with the kokanee, you know, the kokanee spawn in the fall, and they get the eggs, and they probably hatch in January or something like that.
Or earlier.
Yeah. And by March, they're considered 1 year old.
Yes. They all had a birthday on January 1st.
Well, you know, I can
90 days or 1 year.
I can understand the department doing that so they can keep track of things, but they don't bother to tell us how to keep track of things, because, you know, when we talk of king salmon, we talk of three-year cycles. Well, with kokanee, it's kind of the same, almost maybe, but they don't bother to fill us in on the details. So,
yeah, but they forget that you had your first birthday, but
yeah,
60 or 90 days after you hatched.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which means you are really substantially older than you claim to be.
Yes. Well, you want to talk about that?
No,
we can
not
both
really.
Talk about it, Bob.
No. Anyway, so yeah. Listen, before we talk about the dinner, there's of course, I had Rob Reimers on today. He was up at Bullard's Bar yesterday. And the only thing different between now and when they were catching limits earlier is the fish are at 25 feet rather than 50 to 60 feet.
Yes, isn't that strange? If they came up 30 feet,
well,
like
it's gotta
they
be,
should have been all along.
Well, it's got to be a food source. You know, we've talked before. I talked to Richie Height, the longer days, you know, less turbidity in certain places. It's just a variety of things that causes plankton to grow, and it sounds like, looks like they're on their way.
Well, one of the first things plankton needs, and you and I both know that, is sun.
Yeah.
It needs light.
Yeah.
And when you have turbid water, the light doesn't penetrate the depth.
Exactly,
as much.
Yeah.
So it's growing shallower, and the kokanee are 25 or 30 feet shallower, chasing
yeah,
the plankton.
There you go.
And I think that's also the reason the fish up there, they're starting to put some weight on. They're looking, you know, they were decent looking, normal fish a
yeah,
month ago or a month and a half ago. Well, they're getting husky. They're getting some shoulders.
Well, you know, they got skinnier up there.
Yes.
They got skinnier because so there's a lack of plankton growth for you, and now they look better. I mean, it doesn't take them long to put weight
not
on.
Not long. And have you seen the fish coming out of Pardee? Those fish are husky.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited about the year. As soon as we get a little, you know, get a little break in this weather, and it's got to happen. It will happen, won't it? I hope. You know.
Well, yeah, I got to relate the story with this little kid was talking to Mark Twain. They were standing in a hotel room looking out at the rain through the window, and a little kid asked Mark Twain, "Do you think it'll ever stop?" He says, "It always has." Just that simple.
Yeah, it always has.
Anyway.
The one thing that I did notice listening this morning, and what was going on, you know, we talked about being up at Bullard's, 6 weeks ago or whatever, and fishing deeper than we thought we would ever have to in December. it's still a green, pink, and white bite. They're mm-hmm. talking about, and it's still a hoochie bite. Mm. You know, so I think, you know, there are a couple things to take up there if you're going to go up and try it, and it's well worth the effort to try.
Well, and, you know, Rob Reimers is using the little Brad's Kokanee cut plug.
Yes. And I need to talk. I wish he would show me how to fish those properly.
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing. He doesn't have to go change too often because he catches a lot of fish on those things.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And so we went up. That picture that I sent you, I got some information on last night, and it was on Polina Peak's new Performer Dodger and pink hoochies.
Mm-hmm. Hoochies are the common at party
at Bullard's.
At Bullard's. Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
The hoochie Performer Dodger was happened to be the same thing that was used at party as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So it seems like it might be one of those trends.
Uh huh.
You know, and then you throw some Brads in there if you know how to pull them. You know, that would be a good. You know, I think we're going to have an exciting spring when it finally hits.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think we're going to have some opportunities. Maybe not in as many places, but we'll have some good opportunities.
We have some big questions, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know, like Whiskey Creek blowing out last week at Whiskey Town. You know, you accuse me of being optimistic, but I'll tell you, I that's the area that I grew up, and there are muddy blowouts every year somewhere,
sure.
And they just seem to take care of themselves.
Yeah,
and I think Whiskey Town's going to take care of itself.
Well, you know, it's I haven't heard of anybody that's fished it this year.
Not before the storms came in. There were a few fish caught, you know, a month and a half ago, but it's been so rainy. It's been, there's a lot of water that's come down.
And here's another thing that's a mystery. At least to me and the bait shops that I check with and the tackle stores, we put in Berryessa in 2016, we put in 50,000 fish. 2017, we put in 50,000 fish, and last year we put in, what, 41,000 fish?
Yes.
And nobody's seen a kokanee out of there in a year or more.
I know. I hope we may this year.
Well,
wouldn't that be nice?
It would be the true mystery fish if we did.
Yeah. You know, I find what's going on at Berryessa very interesting. I mean, at one point here a few days ago, it's my understanding the water going over the glory hole was 12 feet deep. That's almost beyond comprehension to me.
I don't think so.
You don't think it'd be that deep?
No.
Well, I heard it was deep enough. You know the road that comes in around through Markley Cove that goes to the secondary ramp?
Yeah.
It was underwater.
That road was?
That road was underwater. Which equates to, right around the corner, that glory hole being pretty deep.
To me, if that much water was going down it. I mean, you look at the bottom of Berryessa, there's one pipe coming out of there for that glory. That would fill the glory hole up.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but it might be quite a sight.
My goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to... Ooh, <yeah.
laughs> it's just another unknown. It's going to make the spring fun.
Yeah.
Not having all the answers.
Hey, can you hold on while we do a quick break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back with Gary Coe right after this. Talking to Gary Coe of Kokanee Power about how the kokanee fishing is starting to materialize a little bit. And also the dinner upcoming. Gary, let's talk about the dinner. It's next Saturday, right?
A week from today.
Yeah, and it's down in Old Sac.
Down in Old Sac at the California Automobile Museum at 2200 Front Street on the south end of Old Sac.
Yeah.
And down near the Animal Control Center across the way from it there.
And everybody that goes to the dinner gets access to the whole museum. I mean, you pay for the dinner, but the museum is gratis.
Absolutely. It's very interesting in that. That whole area down there is a free parking zone, so there's not a parking issue. Plenty of places to park for free.
Right.
And then they close the museum down. I think it closes at 4 or 5 generally every afternoon. They close it. They're bringing docents back in and opening it up for our banquet attendees.
That's great.
To show them around and answer questions concerning.
So they'll have, what, an hour or maybe a little bit more to go through then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, walk around and take a look at it, then just go around the corner and you're smack dab in the middle of our banquet.
There you go.
So it's just a good thing. And last year, year before last, people just had a glorious time doing exactly that. Go in a little bit early and take a look at some cars. And, you know, there's a little bit of everything there.
Sure.
Muscle cars, old cars, Indy cars, and a lot of cars with a lot of history.
Yeah.
You know, being in the valley and close to the city. And
yeah.
So, interesting thing. And the dinner itself should just be bang up. You know Nancy, my wife, she's been working on it 80 hours a week since Christmas almost, I think. You know, and a silent auction and live auction and high-dollar raffles and trips and games and gifts and the whole deal, the whole enchilada.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got all these, the wonderful silent auction things, you know, there's manufacturers bring in a whole tray of their lures, everything they make, and put that up for bid.
And some new stuff.
Yeah, always new stuff, and it's a good information gatherings, a place to go to. Everybody's talking fishing this time of year.
Yeah, they are. We're chomping at the bit, waiting for the sun to come out.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it's just getting exciting. You know, you just start feeling a little prickles on your arm, you know, standing up. But I just think, and the atmosphere of everyone is ready for a good year of fishing and outdoors, you know, and I think this is a great way to start it.
We're going to have the water to do it.
It looks like it.
So you really got a good crowd coming, but you have room.
We have room. They've made that area where the banquet is going to be a little larger, so we can get 300 in there. We've got to cut it at 300, and they're coming in daily, and we're over 250 right now.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly how many over 250, but
that's going to be a good crowd.
A great crowd.
So just call you.
That, you know, at this point in time, they can go online, and if they get in gear, they can sign up online and hang up, and it's done. Or call here, I think, and probably do the sign up manually.
Because it was a different number on the website, and I hate to give out too many numbers and take. I mean, if I want to go to the dinner, what do I do?
Call me. Do that one.
All right.
And we'll, if we can't do it, we'll help them get it done.
Okay, Gary. Thank you. Have a great dinner.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We're looking forward to it, and thanks for all that you do, Bob.
Okay, my pleasure. Gary Coe, president of Kokanee Power. His number, 916-985-4943. That's 916-985-4943. Okay? If you want to go on the website, go to kokaneepower.org. All right. Well, I talked to John Boitano up at Phil's Prop. Shasta has just been a wonderful lake this year. Not only are they catching bass, but they're catching bass and trout. And here's some techniques how. John, we chatted a little bit about Shasta. If there's one lake that's immune, or it seems to be immune to all these weather conditions, it's Shasta. I mean, for a variety of reasons that you brought up. Number one, you can always get out of the wind somewhere. And with the water coming up, there's new breaks, there's new cover. And it just seems like the fishing never stops, as is proved by that tournament 2 weeks ago. Those guys did good.
There's not one day out of the year that you can't go out and not boat several bass and trout. But if you want to be exclusive bass, there's not one day of the year. I don't care if it's 115 degrees or it's, you know, 18 degrees. The bass are always on the bite. The trout are always biting, whether it's at 100 feet or it's at 10 feet.
Well, and you know, the last 2 years have been two terrific years on Shasta, not only for the year-round fishing, but it seems like the average size of the fish has snuck up there a little bit.
Well, don't be surprised if the next world record spot comes out of this lake.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be. But listen, hey, it seems like only about 3 weeks ago I'm looking at water levels and like Shasta was 80 feet down. What is it now? Do you know, John?
Yeah, it's 20 feet from the crest.
My goodness.
Today.
No doubt about Shasta filling up this year, is there?
Oh, not whatsoever. In fact, it's so high right now that they're forced to let, you know, probably astronomical numbers of feet, you know, thousands of feet out of the lake just to keep it from going over the dam based on the upcoming rains.
Well, look, let's do this. You tell me, if you were going to go out in the lake in the next couple of days, and you're not a pro, but, you know, you're a guy that knows a little bit about bass fish and want to have some fun, what would you be using and where would you be going? What section?
Well, any of the creeks that are coming in right now, you could go in the backs of the creeks and you could start with some reaction baits such as spinner baits, crank baits, your Kytec swim baits, and definitely catch fish on that. If you're struggling at all with that, then all you got to do is get right out in the channel of where they're coming in and just drop down a Cinco, drop down a hula grub, drop down what they call the Z-Man Ned rig, and you'll get bit on every one of those items.
Yeah.
You know, but if you got what's called the reaction bite going, that's with a spinner bait or something of that sort, then that's always going to be your best bite. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's simple. All you do is cast and reel. You know, the more difficult, of course, would be with your worms and your finesse bait.
Sure.
You have to know what the bite is versus what the bottom is.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but, yeah.
It's everybody should be able to catch fish under those conditions. It seems. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you heard anything just in the last few days about trout?
They're still doing really well on trout, shallow. They're catching a lot of good rainbows. Trolling the optimizers, they're trolling those about 150 feet behind the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly good rate of speed, 3.5 to 4 miles an hour, from like 5 feet down to no more than 20 feet deep. So, I mean, a lot of times you don't even have to put any weight on those. Those are large lures, but they're doing really well on those, and they're also doing really well on what's called the bay rat lure.
Yeah, which is a minnow type plug.
Exactly. It kind of would resemble a Rapala, but for some reason, the difference with the bay rat is they run true at a faster speed.
And that's John Boitano at Phil's Prop. Good tips there. Those guys are really high on those two lures. I'm sure others would do the job, but, I'm sure they sell those lures as well. So, anyway, you know where the fish are. You know it's a fast troll up there. Now, you can try other techniques as well, but there's some nice fish being there's a lot of 18-inch-plus fish being caught at Shasta. Trout. Okay. Phil's Prop, that number is 775-722-2267. I don't have a report from Robbie Dunham of Coke Machine Guide Service at Comanche because he was on vacation, but he fished it earlier this week, and all of a sudden, he goes, boom, he gets a 4, 5, and 6 pounder in a trip in limit fishing, and he's still doing the same thing. He's trolling grubs shallow, and he likes the narrows. So there you have it. Now, all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of big fish showing up. Now we're getting quality at Comanche, okay? Also, I won't have time to get into it today, but I've been trying to do ballistics on some of the new copper ammunition and compared to the lead ammunition. And so next week, I'm going to have something for you. I'm going to do a few different calibers so you can get a general idea. And we're concerned here with, especially in the smaller calibers, is smaller bullets maintaining their velocity. And since they don't, how much do we drop off on energy? And all that has to do with, of course, trying to make a clean kill if you're hunting, or just accuracy. So anyway, I'll try to have that for you next week, okay? After the break, we're going to have Don Paganelli talking about fishing in the city and Delta Bass. You know, sometimes the key to being successful is at fishing. When you go out and your attention, your intention is to fish for one species, fish for another species. That's what Don Paganelli is about to tell us he did, but it's really not true. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning. And I apologize for all the background noise. It's raining a lot.
Okay. Well, I just saw the weather pattern. I don't think it's going to do that for very long.
God, I hope not.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I was referring, you sent me a couple of pictures of beautiful black bass that you caught down in the Delta this week, and you told me you were after stripers, so you know how that goes.
We had one striper to the boat. It was almost 15. I would have guessed it almost 15 pounds.
Oh, that's good.
But that was the only striper bite we had, and then those other two, the two largemouth, I caught on the like a 7.5-inch glide bait.
Wow.
Yeah, I went out with my cousin in an area he wanted to fish in the West Delta, where the water wasn't as stained, because he lives in that area. So there was an area he said doesn't have a lot of color to the water, so it was a little clearer. And so we went down there in his boat, and he saw me throwing these big baits. I said, "Well, we're trying to catch those big stripers," and I said, "The black bass are going to hit them too if they're here, but they should start to move up. I mean, it's that time of year." And sure enough, the first one I caught was about 4 pounds.
Yeah, they both looked in that 4-4.5 pound range.
Yeah, they're both pretty good size. They're both pretty good size fish. He actually hooked the striper, which was kind of cool. But it's that time of year. These fish, they're going through the change, whether the weather is cooperating or not.
Sure.
And that's what I tell people, even about the lakes. These fish are moving up to spawn. They're moving up to get ready to spawn, and they're feeding. So, we just had a news van almost get stuck in the lawn over here. A bunch of people are pushing it out. So,
oh well.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those days. And I told him, I said, this is what you call, when people say fishermen are diehards. There's a whole line of people here to fish this derby here at Howe Park already.
Yeah. Now explain that to me. Explain that to me. Now, you're there with Fishing in the City, but the derby cost you money to get in.
Yes. It's $5. They only charge $5 a piece. And if it's a family with kids, they charge $18 for the whole family, which isn't really a bad deal. And the pond is full of trout. We've got, I think, 800 to 1,000 pounds of trout.
Wow.
In there.
Yeah.
So I know the catching is going to be good. The water's a little off color, but that isn't usually a big problem. Isn't usually a big issue.
So if we fish that today, then we have to pay the $5 for the derby.
Yeah, unfortunately, we were trying to get our own little section of the pond, but it was something that they'd set up years ago with Joe and stuff like that. That, you know, this is an event that we come and we're part of it. We're here with all of our rods, reels, bait. We put on our program just the same, because there are people that come out that want to fish but don't really know a lot about fishing. And we go down and help them. They've got a section of the pond sectioned off just for kids, which is kind of cool. So it's just kids only, so we'll probably be in that area helping out a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't mean to be a naysayer about this, but you know, everything else you do is directed for the people's benefit, to where you don't charge them a nickel. And this having all of a sudden in the middle of all the work you do all year long, one event where you have to pay to go take advantage of fishing in the city doesn't sit completely right with me. But I understand it, because it's the way the parks makes some money and makes it fun for everybody.
Yeah, and they've been a big supporter of us. So when we have our events here, they come and they caution tape off the entire pond. So I know it takes, you know, sometimes some people and stuff like that. And sometimes they'll have their, because their law enforcement people have their office right here in the building, and they come and they patrol it for us. So they do a lot for us when we have our events here. So this is like a once a year deal that they do. And we're here to kind of support them in that, with our program with fishing in the city and the rods and reels, like I said, and the bait. We've got a couple of signups already for, you know, kids that don't have poles. Like I said, we'll have them set up in the area for the kids, and we'll be down there helping them out as much as we can.
Okay. And that's all starting almost immediately, huh?
Yeah. The signups are going right now. They're all lined up to sign up. And I believe I think the fishing's going to take off either around 8 or 8:30 for the Derby.
Okay. Now, let
or
me
nine
ask.
O'clock, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
9 o'clock. I'm being told 9 o'clock.
Okay. That's when the Derby actually starts?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now I want to ask you about Folsom Lake. I've been going by there every day. I was up. I checked the North Fork. I checked the South Fork. I checked the Middle Fork and all that, and the watercolor in Folsom Lake is not bad at all. And okay. I want to know, now it's March, Don. It's March.
It's March, but Folsom, I tell people Folsom Lake is more of an April lake for the big spawn fish to move up.
Yeah.
And that's what I've found in the past.
Well, it's
not,
because
not that March is a bad time.
Yeah, but it's because of those two rivers dumping so much water, whereas Shasta, you have four rivers, but the lake is 4.5 times as big as Folsom.
No, I know. It's huge.
So
the water temperature and clarity change real quick at Folsom Lake, but the levels at this time of year, they try to keep that level constant as much as they can, even though they're trying to relieve it as much as they can. But when you have these storms come in, sometimes it'll start to rise again, irregardless of how much water they let out. But, no, there's still, you know, some fish to be caught there. Spotted bass love this weather. They really love this kind of weather. They're the ones that you're going to probably catch the most this time of year up there. The North Fork is usually where I start fishing. In the early spring like this, I usually catch more fish on the North Fork side, and that's just me, I think, mainly because there's more structure. All the boulders and rocks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any sunlight at all during these, you know, in between these storms, those rocks tend to absorb some of that heat, and I seem to think that draws some of those fish up a little sooner than the South Fork side.
Well,
but, there's fish that can be caught up there.
Yeah, well, I got to believe that people are going to start fishing it now. I mean, if we get a break in the weather, you know, I just got to believe that lake is going to have its first really good time of the year.
Well, I'm hoping to find out here pretty quick as soon as there is a good break in the weather.
Yeah, okay. Well, Don, have a great time out at Howe Park today. Your efforts are appreciated as always. So have a good time. Try to stay dry, okay?
We will try to do that. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Don Paganelli. Don Paganelli's Bass Fishing Experience. You can book a trip with Don, 916-502-3474. I've only fished with Don once, but a few years ago, but it was, I'll tell you one thing, you fish with that guy, you are going to be a better fisherman at the end of the day. And he does not hold back anything. He will show you his spots, his lures. He takes care of everything for you. You're going to know that lake. Wherever it is you fish with him, you're going to know that lake a heck of a lot better than you used to and the patterns of those fish. So, and Folsom, I'm just chomping at the bit to get out there. Every time I do, though, a hurricane comes in or something like that. But that's the breaks. After the break, we'll talk to talk about Lake Berryessa, which is starting to go for bass. Right now, though, Sierra Nevada Tire and Wheel. First of all, I want you to know that, remember last fall, I bought a new set of tires, and I checked them out, and I bought the Cooper Discover AT3. Now, they've also got this little 4S back, but I just found out that after the AT3, that's just a size thing. But, you know, I've got a Tacoma pickup, so that's a small pickup. But they also make this exact tire for large pickups and even trucks up to 1 ton. So, I mean, if I had a bigger truck, I would put these tires on it. I'm officially now very, very happy. I have put these tires through everything I can put them through, okay? And I am extremely happy with them. And above all, I've got a tread to where I get back in my four-wheeling during the summer months that will really, really enhance what I do. And at the same time, these tires are smooth and quiet. So the Discover AT3, I love them. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't. I guarantee you. Sierra Nevada Tire, I think I told you last week, they had something they couldn't trace down. They put a couple of sensors in my car. When they found out that the equipment was getting a false reading, they sent me basically to their competitor a block away, which has the equipment to track electrical stuff, which they found. Sierra Nevada, even though I ended up with sensors, it didn't charge me a nickel. I mean, it was just no question about it. Well, it's not your fault. And that's the way they work. And I'll tell you something, there's not one person listening that hasn't had a problem with where they take their car to be fixed. Well, I have not had a problem with Sierra Nevada Tire. I like those guys. I really do. They have all the tires, all the automotive services. They even make farm service calls. They have forklift tires. They do everything a tire shop should do. They've got great mechanics there. They're all ASE certified. They have to be certified. And they back up everything. That's just, what more can you ask for? They carry all the top tires. Go to the website, SierraNevadaTire.com, and you'll stay busy for a while, either picking tires for your vehicle or just seeing what's out there. They've got it all. They're in Placerville on Main Street. They're in Pollock Pines right between the Safeway and the Shell station. They're open Monday through Saturday for tires and mechanical work. Can't say enough about them. Sierra Nevada Tire and Wheel. Well, just because I know it's just about to turn on, more so than most lakes around, I talked to Luke Lapanovich over at Sweeney's Sports in Napa about Lake Berryessa bass. Luke, before we get started on bass at Lake Berryessa, is it still a little too soon to talk about the trout over there because of the water conditions?
You know, I think it is. I think it is. Those trout just do not do well in that dirty water.
Yeah.
It is cold, you know, they're good with the cold water, but once there's a little bit of mud and a little bit of dirt mixed in, you know, that is just not a good combination.
Yeah, well, it's not good anywhere when those conditions exist, you know.
Yeah, not really.
Okay, well, I know you keep an eye on it, so you'll let us know, I know. But bass fishing, you know, here we are, it's finally March. It is a little bit warmer. The days are a little longer. Is that showing up in the catch when we can get out?
It is. A lot of those fish are actually, you know, with that new flooded cover, a lot of those fish are following that rising water and getting up inside all that. And they could be literally right on the bank in, you know, a foot to even inches of water. You know, checking out all their new territory, checking out all the new areas, you know, trying to figure out some spots to spawn and all that. It's definitely starting. They're getting on their pre-spawn patterns, and, you know, they're pushing up, and they're definitely, this spawn is in the back of their minds right now.
Yeah, that's what we've been kind of waiting for, huh?
Exactly, for a while.
So that means, since all the fish don't transition at the same time, Just depending on what our mood is, we could fish anywhere from shallow still on down to, what, 20, 25 and 30 feet of water?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly the case.
So jigs still come into play in the deeper water?
Yeah, so if you are going to be targeting those deeper fish, I would be targeting more of a slower pattern. So it's going to be, the, you know, the jig, the drop shot, shaky head, any worm or something like that. If you're going to go up shallow, best thing is going to be a moving bait. They're up shallow and they're cruising, so you're going to want to try to find them where, you know, you're going to find them where they want to react. So you're going to be throwing your spinner baits, your LV500, your square bills, your chatter baits, and just getting those are going to be your reactionary fish.
Okay, yeah. So, and maybe have a tube bait ready just in case.
Exactly. You can even miss a bite, and if they don't get any hooks, flip back to that area and actually pick off that fish.
Yeah. Well, we're getting into really the funnest time of year for bass fishing.
Exactly. It should be a fun year up there.
Well, we're not. There's no shortage of water, is there?
There is not. No shortage of water and no shortage of cover with all those, you know, the trees and the bushes all underwater now.
That's really good. That's good. Well, we had, unfortunately, we really had some problems over in the Napa River with flood stage being reached this last week. How's the recovery going over there as far as water levels?
It's looking good. You know, a lot of the water is back to normal right now. I was looking around at some of the places downtown earlier in the week, and it was just destroyed. Just, you know, water up into the up on the flood areas where it should be, but it was just ripping really hard, and that's not too good for the fishing. Obviously, a lot of the fish just hunker down.
No,
but guys are coming into the shop today, and they're already out fishing again. So. Haven't heard anything since we've had that high water, but
that's Luke Lapanovich over at Sweeney's Sports in Napa. Bass fishing is about to go crazy at Berryessa. His number 707-255-5544. A couple things. The North Area Sportsmen's Association has their quarterly dinner meeting this coming Thursday, March 7th. At the Cattleman's Restaurant on Folsom Boulevard in Rancho Cordova. No-host cocktails, 6:15 to 7, and dinners at 7. Give them a call if you want to go. There's a great choice of steak, fish, pasta, or chicken. It's $35 per member. This is a quarterly deal. And then they have, you know, prizes and other things. And also the guest speaker will be Christian McGibbon of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, talking about salmon and kokanee. The current stats on their numbers and the whole thing in that area. Also, this is the weekend of the Home and Garden Show in Sacramento. And I'm just looking at some of the things. They have lectures on urban farm animals, vertical gardening, edible plants on porches, and offering advice and custom coops for backyard chickens. So have a good week, everyone.